Welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwall. Joining me is Chad Vandelot and Kayla Gustafson, and we are the House Geeks. If you have any questions for us, make sure you give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. You can also check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching tools and researching tools. Now, follow us on our Facebook page as well, where you can watch us record live most Tuesdays, and you can keep up to date with upcoming classes and events. We just had one in Bloomington here a couple weeks ago, and we're going to be having another one coming up, I think, around the 20th, 21st, somewhere in there. But you can keep track on the Facebook page as well. And I'm sure we'll be making a commercial for that soon enough. So, all right, today we're talking about, should I consider renting my home? This is something that, as the market has become better and better, I'm hearing more and more people talk about it, which it's kind of interesting, because usually the time you want to consider it is when the market tends to be more towards the downside of things. But there can be many reasons why this may be a good idea or may not be a good idea. I wanted to go through with the pros and cons of that and then discuss a little bit about, you know, what makes a good investment property, and does your home fit inside that box? Because, you know, when it comes to investment properties, you really, to do a good job with it, want to take the emotion out of it. And so you want to put in parameters. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know, granted, there's certain situations where maybe it doesn't fit in that box, but we're going to get into that right out of the gate. Okay. There are some exceptions to that rule. So really, the first question I would be asking a client, or myself if this is something I was looking at, is why? Why am I thinking about doing this? And what is my goal?
Money, obviously.
Well, you know, that's the thought. I think that's the initial trigger. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm doing it so I can make money, so I can build more equity in my house. However, I think when hit with the hard questions, that money aspect may tend to fade.
You touched on a strong topic there, Kirk. Building equity versus money. And I think there's a common misconception out there in my first conversations with people about this, that they're going to get a nice check at the end of the month, every month, versus the people who have really researched this topic and put some time into it, they understand that it's more about the equity portion of it. Or, as we'll get into later on, maybe some of the tax benefits in doing it.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, the ultimate goal, the long-term goal, is to have a bunch of assets that you will own, that you can, you know, 1031 exchange at some point, or sell off, whatever you decide to do. However, that can sometimes get in the way of the cash flow. I think you need this. You need a certain safety net cash flow to know that it's still a good idea, because a lot of people got in trouble in, you know, 2004, 2005. Oh, it's going up so fast in value, I don't care if I cash flow. The problem is when the market collapses and then the rents go down, now it's just bleeding money and you can't sell it. So I like to look at it from, yeah, the ultimate goal is to have these assets ultimately paid down, but to have a safety net cash flow built in there so you can withstand market corrections for the long term.
Good point.
So Kayla, you had mentioned something when we were putting together the show that I didn't even think of, but it does come up so often, which is, who are you renting to? Mm-hmm. Is this, you know, are you buying this house for your son or daughter and they're going to rent it from you? I look at that a whole lot. Or are you going to move to a smaller house and you're going to rent to your son or daughter? I look at that a whole lot differently than, you know, all the hoops that you might have to jump through. As we'll get into,
mm-hmm.
that can alleviate a lot of costs and a lot of headache. And so there are things such as, oh, who's going to take care of the home, you know, that you're probably putting that more on your family members to call the plumber mm-hmm. if something breaks, you know, mm-hmm. And you'll have that better relationship, and probably they will take better care of the home.
Sure.
Not always.
Right. It's a completely different side to the coin for flipping, renting property, because you're adding more of that emotional piece that you were talking about back into it, which has benefits and also has drawbacks. But, you know, it's a completely different situation, to your point, that is different from doing straight investment, looking at it from a purely business standpoint.
Well, one of the biggest headaches of renting properties is the property management piece of that.
Yes.
and maintenance. Mm-hmm. And if you have a trusted person that you know that's going to be there, it takes away that headache, which is probably the biggest one, mm-hmm. you know, in the process. So you can maybe be willing to be a little more tolerant on cash flow if that is the scenario.
I think it also depends on what your end game is, too. Is your end game to rent to a family member to ultimately transfer ownership to them in the future, or is it to rent to then hopefully sell? And so getting a sense of what your end game is going to help you determine whether this is a good option or not.
You know, one that comes up a lot is renting for equity position. You know, I'm going to pay down the house. I think that comes into play a little bit where, okay, you're kind of forced maybe potentially to rent where mm-hmm. it's a negative equity. We'll get more into the positive equity in a little bit, but there does become that, well, I'm going to be a short sale if I don't rent it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it does create the scenario where, well, yeah, I need to rent the property.
Mm-hmm.
One that comes up too, work relocation or temporary work relocation. Family situation, whatever it might be, you have to move for a few years. And that definitely can be a great time where you just need to rent it out short term. Once again, if you can find a friend or a family member that will do this,
mm-hmm.
it can make it a lot easier.
And that all ties back into, what are your goals? Are you trying to build an investment portfolio? Is this your first property? Are you trying to get multiple properties? Or are you just trying to get supplemental income? How long do you plan on renting this out for? Kirk, you mentioned temporary employment change, where you'll be out of the area for a couple years, but you know you're coming back. Again, when you're going through this thought process, it should always tie back to what are your goals ultimately, and does this support your goals?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of people step into it with that. Going back to what we said right away, that. The money, oh, I'm going to build a portfolio. But I think you need to really pick at that a little bit. Like, what is this the best way to build that portfolio? And we're going to talk through a couple scenarios a little later in the show. Market conditions. This is something that may, you know, we talked about the equity and a potential short sale. Once again, market conditions can really play into, is it a good idea to rent mm-hmm. or not?
Or your need to rent or not. Because I remember,
yeah.
you know, with the downturn, you were talking about that as well, that there were some people who were underwater and their only option really, besides short selling it, was to rent it. You know, so paying attention to the current market as well as the market that will be in place when you want to unload that property, if you ever do, is going to be really important to understand.
And the good thing is I have this hanging in my office as a daily reminder to what does our market do? And on average, there is a 13-year correction. So if you take the last high, and can we agree last high, do we want to say 2006? Right?
Yeah.
So to the next high would be 13 years on average. Well, we're at 12 right now, or coming into 12 years. So, you know, if you're looking, oh, I'm going to rent my house out for 5 years, build some equity, are you going to be building equity? Mm-hmm. Are you actually going to be negative of where you could be right now? And you know, well, you can never guess what the market's going to do. If you pull up that chart, it's pretty easy to go, yeah, it is about every 13 years since 1925 that we see anywhere from a 10, well, up to the last one, a 40% correction in the market. So what could have been, you know, hey, I'm going to build equity, maybe shooting yourself in the foot. Mm-hmm. So be prepared. If you're going to go the rental route, the best way to do it is have that as a long-term strategy, right? This is a long game.
That's the key right there. And that's the key with any investment. Any investment, time is your best ally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not the I'm playing the silver market where I'm going to buy it at 15, offload it for 19 a year or so from now, keep
or
the cash.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Right. Yeah, so I mean, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there's smart ways to do this and not so smart ways mm-hmm. to do it. So, you know, figuring out, yeah, long-term strategy is very important. When we come back, we're going to get into talking a little bit about, you know, what it takes to self-manage your own rental properties, qualifying to actually be able to do this if you're planning on buying another house, discuss equity and holding costs, all sorts of things. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any questions, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Hi, this is Norman Goldman from my favorite Minneapolis furniture store, Habitation Furnishing and Design. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your home? Does your furniture make you comfortable? Are you proud to have guests over? With the long winter months shutting us all in and the holidays fast approaching, I encourage you to visit Habitation St. Louis Park Showroom to see what potential awaits. Let Habitation help you craft a space that makes your home the place to be this holiday season. Check them out at HabitationDesign.com. Tell them Norman Goldman sent you.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to find that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion offers more appliance brands than any other, and our passionate specialists are motivated to impress you so much that you will refer Warner Stellion to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy new appliances, join nearly 300 Minnesotans and choose the appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
listening to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show with the House Geeks. Today we're talking about, should I consider renting my home? Now, this is something that we come across and have been coming across more and more, where people are looking at buying their next house and holding their current one as a rental property. And discussing the pros and cons, the things to consider as you prepare to do this. I mean, I think to keep going back, the most important thing is to ask the question, why? What are my goals? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just joining us, you can check out the show on our podcasts. Go to Twin Cities Real Estate Show or housegeeks.com. You can listen to all our past shows there, or go to our Facebook page where you can see our live videos if we're recording live, or the past shows as well there. So getting into this one. So people, okay, I want to rent my house out. I can make my payment with the rent, or make close to my payment with the rent. That should be no problem, right? Yeah. Okay, so depending on the year, you decide the requirements on this may change. It used to be go back a couple years, they wanted a 2-year rental history, that you had to have 2 years background of leases, filing on your taxes as well. This is one that a lot of people forget, that you had rental property, or you were renting out property and you claimed that.
Now that's in order to help you qualify for additional money to make these, to keep your home and make the additional purchase.
Right, right. It allows you to qualify that rental income as income.
Yes.
And depending on the lender, this can vary the percentage of that you can use. You may not be able to use 100% of that rental income. You may only be able to use 75%, depending. You know, this has changed since I've been in real estate. I've seen this be, if you have a signed lease, that's enough to be able to qualify. I've seen it where it's, you know, you need 6 months rental history, 1 year rental history, 2 year. You know, it really just depends. But be prepared. There may be qualifying standards that to use that. Now, if you make enough money to just qualify for both without utilizing the rent, that alleviates that issue as mm-hmm. well. You don't need to have the rental history.
But remember, if you're a move-up buyer and you have a dream property in mind, remember that you will need to qualify for both of those loans. So you'll have to evaluate whether the home you're moving into will be the standard that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, not that this has so much to do with the particular situation we're talking about today, but I think a lot of people that look at getting into investment properties with the rental side of it, forget you're going to need 20 to 25% down if you're just straight buying an investment property.
Yes.
We're going to talk about this in a little bit when it comes to how to leverage your money with investment properties. If becoming an investor is what you really want to do, this goes back to that question, why? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this really just for a reason because I'm not ready to sell my house yet? Or am I actually becoming an investor? So that's definitely a piece you need to take into consideration. Equity. We discussed a little bit about this last segment, that, you know, what is your equity position? Are you in a really, really good equity position with a lot of money that's just stuck into that property, that's tied up into it in a great market? Mm-hmm. And this goes back to the, if your goal is to sell it in a couple years, you might not have as much of that equity if we're on that downswing period of time. And is there better ways that equity could possibly be used? It really comes down to, what are you into that home for, and how much money do you have tied up into that house? Holding costs. This is, you can rent it out. You can rent it out for $14,000, $15,000, $19,000, $2,000, $2,100, whatever it might be. But what is it costing you to actually keep that property? You know, maybe you don't have a payment, but property taxes, homeowners mm-hmm. insurance.
Maintenance.
Maintenance, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, is it a scenario where you're paying utilities? Probably if it's single family, no. But it just depending on how you're structuring it. And maintenance being one of those that I think gets looked over. I mean, we were discussing, Chad, when putting together the numbers for maintenance, how much is it really costing on a monthly basis to maintain your typical home?
Mm-hmm.
This gets into that, you know, we have this conversation all the time about people talking about association dues. Oh, the association dues are so high. Well, they maintain your siding, mm-hmm. they maintain your roof. You know, if depending on a condo or townhome, they may maintain some of the mechanical systems, mm-hmm. all of that stuff.
Even the driveways.
Right.
Yep. And driveways are expensive. I look at what I put into my home in the last, I've been there 4 years. I got $9,000 into the HVAC system. I have $4,000 into a fence. I have at least $3,000 into the pool mechanicals that keep breaking all the time. You know, I'm looking at an upcoming roof. You know, break that down into a monthly cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's roof or whether it's driveway, whether it's HVAC, whether it's plumbing, you know, there are going to be ongoing costs and headaches to this. Then we have the wear and tear, right? So not just your basic maintenance stuff,
mm-hmm.
but depending on who you have renting from you, how good are they going to take care of the place? I mean, are you going to need to go in there and fix the cabinetry because, you know, the doors were getting slammed too hard and the fronts are popping off? Are they slamming the dishwasher?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how well is the home really being lived in, mm-hmm. and taken care of?
Well, and the fact that you're going to have, every home has wear and tear in it, and in a rental, likely you're going to have more of that because, you know, there isn't the, you know, same ownership relationship with
you're
people.
You're not as likely to see somebody taking off the shoes every time they come in the door.
Right. You know, and also, you know, what does it take between renters? If you're really talking long-term rental investment, what needs to happen every time you switch people out? So you're going to probably update that carpet more often than you would if it were your own house, where you might do it just before you sell, or you might do it once in the entire time you've owned the place. Things like that are going to be considerations for, you know, attaining the amount of rent you want each time you get people in there and maintaining that. But then also when you think about when you're ready to unload it, what are the things that need to be done for that? Not just maintaining it, but, you know, what does the climate look like and what things are you going to need to do to sell it?
That's a great point. We've got just a minute before the commercial break, but, you know, quite often, I'm going to rent it out for a few years and sell it. Okay, well, you just got this thing completely ready to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, painted the walls, put in the new carpet, you know, fixed up the cabinetry, did all that stuff. And now you're probably going to have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the cost to that? What are you gaining?
Right.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about management, property management, what to expect, things as far as, you know, getting ready for qualifying renters and all that jazz. If you have any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. You can also check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com and follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and glasses. We'll be right back.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 or over to play.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Hey, podcast fans, did you know that StandUpRecords.com has live comedy CDs of some of your favorite podcast personalities? Folks like Jackie Cation of The Dork Forest, Robert Kelly of You Know What Do, the Sklar Brothers from Sklarbro Country, Doug Stanhope from Doug Stanhope's Podcast, and Mark Maron from WTF. You've heard them for free. Why not consider spending some money to find out what they do for a living? Just head on over to StandUpRecords.com or look for StandUp Records at Amazon.com or the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Share a special experience with your loved ones this holiday season at Nightingale, an intimate eatery and cocktail lounge. Receive a $20 gift certificate for every $100 gift certificate purchased through the end of December. Enjoy their mulled wine and house-made eggnog, perfect for special occasions and holiday gatherings. A fun, cozy atmosphere and delicious, inventive dishes make for a memorable and warm get-together. Nightingale is located at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. More at nightingalempls.com.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show with the House Geeks, brought to you by Bricks Real Estate. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Whether you're looking at buying a home, selling a home, or just have a real estate question or question about today's topic, you can give us a ring. Check us out online at housegeeks.com as well. Today we're talking about what to consider if you're thinking about renting your home. And there is a lot to consider when looking at this. And honestly, you know, the conversations that I've had, the number of people that ultimately end up doing it, maybe 10 to 15% actually end up renting their place versus deciding to sell it and go a different route.
Sure.
Taking when they bring all these factors into play. You gave me a funny look. Why, Chad?
A quick question. Of that 10%, are these people that maybe had the idea of renting that property out when they purchased it, or kind of along the way, all of a sudden they're thinking of selling, now the idea pops into their head?
I don't know the answer to that. I never asked if they thought about renting it when they bought it. But no, that's a very valid point. You know, am I buying this as a short term? Is my ultimate goal to rent it? Actually, it's something we didn't even put down when putting together the show. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole different conversation there. Is this just a stepping stone? And that can be a great way to think about it. You know,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to temporarily live in it. I can get into it with the low down payment, hold it for a little while, and then move on to another place. There are a lot of people that do that. So, let's see. I'm losing my pages here. Yes. Management costs. This is one thing. Oh, I'm going to hire a property manager. It can get very expensive. You know, a lot more than people think. You know, I see places charging anywhere from a $500 finder fee to a first month rent finder fee. I mean, you're talking in that scenario, well, 1/12 of the income that's coming in. And then you have the monthly cost as well. So is this a scenario where, okay, maybe I'll find the renter myself and then have a management company? You know, I recommend if you have the ability to self-manage, it's, you know, at least the first couple, if you're really wanting to become an investor, that it's a good idea, not necessarily even just for the cost savings, it's the learning experience of how to do it. So when you look for the management companies, you know what they're doing.
I think additionally to that, I mean, managing a rental property is going to cost you in either time or money.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to cost you some portion of both. And so figuring out what works best for the lifestyle that you want is going to be important too. And again, going back to the why and figuring out, you know, managing rental property, even if you just have one, can be a full-time job. And it depends on, you know, who you've got in there and what they need, what type of property you've got, what happens. I mean, even just a few years ago when we had all the ice damming that was happening on roofs, you would never expect it. You know, multiply that out for, you know, three rental properties and then your own house. Are you doing it yourself? Are you getting some a rental management company to help you with that? It's going to cost
you. Well, I'm not saying clear the ice yourself. I'm just saying make the phone call to the company.
But again, like, you know, there is value in the learning that comes from managing it yourself, but there's also value in giving that away to someone else depending on what you're interested in. If it's something that you can manage in your lifestyle, that's, you know, it's always a better monetary decision to do it yourself. But,
well,
you know, it depends if you're handy also. If you're not handy, that's, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, it's, I had a guy, he was buying a property and not handy whatsoever. He actually went to he was at the party a few weeks ago. And he took it upon himself to learn how to be handy and did it the right way. He bought all the manuals, all the books and everything.
That's great.
You know, I think a lot of it, You have to look at it goes to the cash flow, which we're going to talk about. You know, if you're bleeding money, there's a problem. You know, I understand if it's just temporary to get through a market conditions thing that we've talked about already. There may be pros to doing that, but long term, you cannot sustain losing money every month. Okay, part of that management is location. Where are you going to be? Is this new house just on the other side of the town you live in, or is it on the other side of the cities, or are you moving out of state? This also plays into the management, because obviously if it's a relocation out of state, it's going to pretty much be impossible to self-manage. You know, things to take into consideration. I know a lot of people, one of the biggest fears is I don't know how to qualify, you know, how to go through the process of getting renters, right? And so really it comes down to, you know, looking at rental history, looking at credit reports, and looking at criminal history is what most people do. They have a fill out an application, you have an application fee, you say what's going to be done as far as the checks. You know, a mistake I see a lot of people make too is they set the rent very high and they are so thrilled when they get an applicant, they don't ever look at the qualifications of the applicant. That applicant, if you have to evict them or there's a mispayment, is far more expensive than just having your price be $50 lower a month or $100 lower a month.
And without going into the details, it's pretty well considered that Minnesota is a renter-friendly state. So keep that in mind when look into that a little deeper yourself.
Do your research on this part. There, it's very easy to get somebody in. It's much more difficult to,
to get somebody out.
Or to have to switch gears and change things around. And to Chad's point, it is a very renter-friendly environment here. So make sure that you know what you're doing, that you research things, that you know what the process is if things go terribly wrong, because that's a possibility and you need to be prepared for it.
This was brought up when we were talking about Airbnb stuff. Mm-hmm. You get that person who comes in, technically they're living in there, they have a contract. You have to follow the eviction rules.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You can get in quite a pickle before you think. Going back to the, you know, are you just trying to keep your home? You love the place. You were there for years. You just don't want to sell it. Versus, is this really a good rental property?
Now, that's something that's been ring as we're talking about this on this show. That's been kind of ringing through my head. You know, when you bought this home, was this bought as a rental property? No, it was bought as a home.
More
for you
likely,
to live
yeah.
in, where you're going to meet with friends or raise a family or have a dog or whatever your goals were. Or now you're thinking about selling it or thinking about renting it out, and it probably wasn't originally bought as an investment property. And just to think about, is that the right way to go about an investment of any kind by using that emotion, or does that maybe cloud what an investment should be?
Right.
And not only that, but, you know, if you're making the decision to become an investor and you really want to do that, don't hinder yourself by only looking at the option that's in front of you and the easiest one. You should be evaluating all the options and putting your current place in that option pool to see, is it the best option for me? Because maybe it's not. Maybe the option is to sell that property and then pick one that is more conducive to renting out. So make sure that you're evaluating all the options,
right,
and not just the easy one that's in front of you.
And that's where I think a lot of people get hooked. Oh, I have this investment property right here. I can do this. This is simple. Well, it's never going to be simple. Right. There's going to be cost. There's going to be headaches. There's going to be things you never expected. And if the dollars and cents aren't as good as they could be, you might as well make the right decision. So let's talk a little bit about what might make a good investment property. Now, I've changed my numbers over the years a little bit as rents go up. I used to say, yeah, try to find a single family for under $150,000. Now I say, try to find a single family for under $175,000. You know, as rents keep going up, that opens that door. If you're looking at condos or townhomes, that's more like $135,000. You know, I have numerous clients that do this. They do it for a living, and they make very good money. But they follow rules. This is not a game of emotions. This is, you know, your financial future. And, you know, you can't always make you drive up, oh, I don't like the front, or I don't like the floor plan. It needs to be, what can you rent it for? How much is it going to cost to maintain it? What's the cash flow going to be? You're looking for, you know, hopefully a property that is going to bring in at least $400 a month in cash flow. I will make exceptions to this. I do have kind of like percentages, but that percentage tends to be at least 400. The exception tends to be more with the condo. If I can get the 12 to 14% return on the money, then that can make, you know, okay, yeah, 300 is fine.
And I think the condo market is a good representation of a different way to do that. That's very different than purchasing a home to live in, because, I mean, you can do luxury condo rentals that are completely different than the model you're explaining, and you can still do that. But again, to your point about it being percentage-based and understanding that in this kind of a situation, cash is king, and understanding all of the inputs that are going to go into holding that and how you're going to maintain it and getting a number outside of that that makes sense is going to be really important. But that, you know, you can go a couple different directions with it.
Right, yeah. And the end of it, like you say, cash is king. Yeah. You, it's got to be making you money. Mm-hmm. And it's got to make sense. Mm-hmm. Because when the market's bad, you still need to make money. Mm-hmm. So it can get good again and then bad again and then good again. You know, one thing I didn't put in here is that another exception I'll make to this is I'm looking for a $400 cash flow on a 30-year mortgage. If I'm doing a 15-year mortgage, I'm willing to take a lower amount. I'm just mm-hmm. and it's a good idea to do this too. Mm-hmm. That if you can do a 15 or a 20-year note, you pay that extra 150, 200, 300, whatever it is. Okay, now your equity, like you're talking, the long term is building quicker and quicker to get to the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really nice when the properties are all paid off. Then the cash flow looks really good.
Especially when you're looking at, you know, having a portfolio. So really then what you're talking about is not necessarily holding every piece of the property forever. It's about getting to a good equity position or getting that whole loan paid off so that you can transfer it into either something larger or multiple.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about leveraging the properties themselves when you come back. If you got any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching and researching tools. We'll be right back.
Attention, real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Norman Goldman from my favorite Minneapolis furniture store, Habitation Furnishing and Design. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your home? Does your furniture make you comfortable? Are you proud to have guests over? With the long winter months shutting us all in and the holidays fast approaching, I encourage you to visit Habitation St. Louis Park Showroom to see what potential awaits. Let Habitation help you craft a space that makes your home the place to be this holiday season. Check them out at HabitationDesign.com. Tell them Norman Goldman sent you.
So Hada Krismica just snuck up on us, and you've waited and waited all year to get your carpet cleaned. Getting your carpet Zero Res clean makes your home healthier to get rid of the bacteria and dust mites and dander lurking in your carpet. This month, get three-room Zero Res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month, you can get great deals getting your air duct Zero Res clean. So call Zero Res today because your family deserves a clean, fresh-smelling home for the holidays. That's 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. As many of you may know, home values are up for the fifth straight year in our area. Are you now thinking about selling and curious what your home is worth in today's seller's market? Then check out HouseGeeks.com. At HouseGeeks.com, you will find the best free home evaluation tools in the Twin Cities. You will also find many other great resources for tracking our market or just your local neighborhood. Again, that is at HouseGeeks.com.
Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for all your holiday shopping. There's no better place to find that special gift for the book lover in your life. Pick up a new book or get a gift card at Common Good Books, your locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. Whether you're shopping for a child, teen, or adult reader, they'll help you get just the right gift. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or at commongoodbooks.com.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Love to help you out with any of your real estate questions or real estate needs. Check us out online at housegeeks.com, where you'll see all of our past shows, videos that we're doing, upcoming classes, and much more. Today we're talking about, is it a good idea or should I consider renting my house out if I'm planning on buying a new house? We kind of left that last segment of leveraging the equity that you're building in these investment properties. You know, discussing that you've converted to a 15-year note, you're paying it down faster. You know, a lot of the investors that I work with, once they hit 20, 30% equity, they actually pull it out of that property mm-hmm. to buy another property. Mm-hmm. So they can keep getting more and more. Mm-hmm. We were discussing the condos and townhomes as well. I think that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Investment property number one and two. And here's why. Yeah, you have the association fee. And so maybe hitting that 400 is a little tougher, but you're getting the percentages and the exterior maintenance becomes less of a worry.
Right. And to be fair, I mean, when you're talking about that 400 up and above the cash flow, you're really in that 400 is built in all of the maintenance that you're supposed to be doing. So you should be setting aside money of that 400 every month to perform the maintenance anyway. So really.
Well, no, with the 400 is above and beyond maintenance
costs.
Above
and beyond. Yeah. That's pretty aggressive.
Well, but I mean, my clients to make money.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, and they're out there. They're definitely out there. And they're still out there, even with the market the way it is. Mm-hmm. These properties exist. Mm-hmm. It's where to look for them. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that as well of okay, you know, I have this house. It's a $250,000 home. I bought it for $175,000. Why not keep it as a rental property? And we talked about, well, you know, you want a house that's worth $175,000 or less, or mortgaged at $175,000 or less, to make the numbers work. So it kind of, to get those cash flow numbers, and anybody who's listening, I have a great cash flow spreadsheet of how to do this. You know, reach out, the 612-207-5388. We're happy to send that to you or go to thehousegeeks.com. You'll reach out that way as well. But yeah, it's a cash flow worksheet of how to put together, you know, all of your costs of holding the property and to see if this makes sense to do it. So what I was saying, you know, in the last segment, you know, $175 for single families, $135 for condos, $400 cash flow. Another thing I've heard is 1%. Talk about a tough model. They mm-hmm. want somebody wants 1% of whatever the home is worth as the rent. Well, usually you're not mm-hmm. going to get 175. You're not right. getting 1750 mm. for it.
Well, it also depends on back to our conversation about location, and you know, just because you have this need to get a certain amount in cash flow, that is very dependent on how much you can rent it for, and
right.
and do you need to do work in order to hit that higher rental number mm-hmm. To sustain some of these ratios. So it's really just a ratio problem, and you need to have a good, to your point about, you know, get a model, plug these numbers in, look at properties and evaluate them based on, you know, what the numbers are actually saying, and evaluate your own home this way too is going to be really important.
We talked about before the show, you know, the example that I gave, you know, changing areas, yes, it will affect the rent. There's no doubt about it, depending on how much of a shift in area. But, I mean, a three-bed, two-bath home, whether you're in Eagan or, let's say, you know, Brooklyn Park or something like that, or greater east side of St. Paul, they're going to be close to the values, in a sense. And I don't know if you're following me on that. So, like I had given the example, the Egan house that maybe somebody bought for $175 in the downturn, it's now worth $250. Okay, they could rent it for $1,500. And I know there's people out there, no, I can rent it for more than that. Yeah, you probably can. I'm not, but for example, $1,500. Well, you could maybe go to that Brooklyn Park and get 1,400 or something along those lines. Changing areas isn't necessarily going to throw the rents huge. It, what will throw it more is how big is the property, mm-hmm. right? So when looking at the investment, the example that I put down is, okay, so you have that house. It's worth 250K. You bought it or you owe 175. So when you sell it, and, you know, figure there's going to be 7% worth of sales fees, you know, title fees, tax, all that stuff, commissions, because, you know, us real estate agents need our piece, right? So you got all that built in there. You sell the house, you're going to walk away with $232. That's going to leave you with $57,500 in equity, okay? Now, if I go buy that $175,000 home in Brooklyn Park or Greater East Side or, you know, somewhere, just anywhere, mm-hmm. South St. Paul, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. I buy that there. I can rent that out. You know, I put down this $57,500. Now my total all in is $763 for my payments and maintenance and or payments. Then another $125 for maintenance. I go from a $225 a month cash flow up to a $512 a month cash flow, over doubling it, but using and leveraging that same equity that was in the home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for listeners who might be doubtful of this scenario, I'm more than happy if you'd like to reach out in showing a few examples of how this works and how to do this with homes. And the reason I am is I do it all the time for other clients. Mm-hmm. So,
if you want to get into investing, this is something very important to understand is how do you, you're not buying all of these to create this portfolio of things that you never get rid of. It's about the growth and changing all of these things around, kind of just like the stock market. You're buying and you're selling to improve your position overall. So making sure that you understand things like that, not just I'm sitting on this house and the cash flow works for me, making sure that you understand all of those different nuances of this so that you can be a competitive investor.
I'm pretty sure that if you can double your money, it's worth that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most people, when they see the numbers and go, you know, okay, I'm over doubling, that's worth the conversation, you know. And that's where I have said, I think only maybe 10-15% of my clients have ever ultimately, who've thought about this, have rented their home, mm-hmm. because they look at these numbers and go, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I should go buy mm-hmm. an investment
right.
property.
Right.
You know, and some people, they go that route. Yeah, maybe I should. Then they think about it and realize, you know what? I just don't want to be a property manager. I'd rather buy stocks or a property owner, whatever it might be. So, you know, I think just having the conversation, putting that extra thought into it. Like I said, if this is something you're thinking about, you want to look at the cash flow worksheet, sit down and talk about, look at possibly other investment properties, you know, reach out. Housegeeks.com. Give us a call, 612-207-5388. Happy to discuss it. Let's see. If anybody has any show suggestions as well, submit them at housegeeks.com. If you're watching us on Facebook, you can comment in the section below. Everybody has a good week.